The Mental Health Commission of Canada has developed a new workplace resource titled Mini Guide to help employees' mental health through the winter. The MHCC's new Mini Guide is designed to help employers provide workers with specific tools and resources during the winter months, especially during the pandemic. Liz Horvath is Mental Health Commission of Canada's manager for workplace mental health. I reached her in her office and asked how the difficult winter can be for workers, even under normal conditions.
Well, that's a great question, Ben. And I'd like to start with the fact that it's not difficult for everyone. There are many people who actually do thrive in winter.
Okay.
But for some people, the colder temperatures, the shorter days, the grayer skies, we've got snow and slippery conditions, this can actually result in less time outside. And because of things like lack of sunlight, people who typically work indoors, for example, will have less exposure to sunlight, and that can result in vitamin D deficiency, which has been linked to depression. We may get less fresh air. We may have less regular exercise. Some people may experience seasonal affective disorder. And certainly because of the winter, some people may experience more isolation and loneliness in the winter because the outdoor activities that they would normally participate in the nicer weather are shut down for the winter. Things like going to the beach or outdoor games or sports or even backyard barbecues. Even if we do get outside, we tend to be all bundled up. And also we tend to see that people in the winter, we tend to indulge in more comfort foods and possibly alcohol and other substances. And some people have really hectic work schedules in the winter, which can really be a burden on them, especially with the holiday season. I know we've just passed the holiday season for some people, but we can also be, running around doing things, family obligations, and those hectic work schedules on top of that can help to just increase the level of stress that people are feeling. And some organizations, some businesses have their busy times during the holiday season or the winter, so that can actually increase the amount of stress that people are experiencing. So it can be pretty tough on people under normal conditions.
Liz, on that note, what specific challenges are likely because of now COVID-19?
Yes, well, those issues that I just talked about, they can be amplified. So things like increased isolation and loneliness because of the restrictions and the lockdowns that we're going through right now, and certainly fear of being in proximity to other people. There's a lot of people who are quite concerned about becoming ill, and some of those fears can be really magnified. There's increased financial strain and uncertainty, and we know that, when people are under financial strain and they're uncertain about their future, whether that uncertainty is related to financial strain or other factors, uncertainty is a risk for mental health. As I said, we're seeing increased use of alcohol and substances. There's increased feelings of sadness and fear, and a lot of nostalgia about what was life like before COVID-19, and are we ever going to get back to that semblance of normalcy? So there can be this feeling of a loss of hope in some people, and there can also be effects on people's physical health. When the supports and the resources that they would normally access, they feel that they cannot go to access them. There's fear of going to a medical facility, for example, or not going to get your blood work or your annual exam because you don't want to go near those medical facilities and possibly be exposed, or certain surgeries and elective surgeries, for example, may be shut down because of the burden on the healthcare system. So there may be effects to a person's physical health along with their mental health, where they're not perhaps taking care of themselves or getting the help that they should be getting.
Now, the Mental Health Commission of Canada has put out a mini guide to help employers provide their workers with support. What are the main points?
Yes, we have. We know that when employers can help employees with improving their resilience and put some things in place to help to reduce the risk associated with working, helping them with this through winter in a pandemic can be really helpful. So we've provided some tips on main points of awareness of the things that we just talked about, because it's really important when we're aware of the things that might be causing our mental health to decline, or those things that can help to improve our mental health. So we've got the points of awareness in there, but also some tips on how to cope with each one of those things that I just talked about. And also there's some suggestions for employers on how to reduce the risk of mental harm for their employees. For example, communicating with empathy and what to communicate. What considerations to take into account for workers who are working in temporary or permanent at-home situations. This has gone on longer than I think what most employers would have thought it did. So making sure that employees are well set up and that they're able to focus on their work is very important. There's information about psychological and social supports that will help to reduce stress and improve productivity. There's also suggestions for improving balance and flexibility, and certainly during this time, being flexible with our workers so that they can have some semblance of work-life balance while navigating this pandemic is extremely important. And through the winter, certainly things are taking longer. I mean, when we go to the grocery store, it can take longer. When we go to do just about anything, it can take longer. And there's a lot of people who are homeschooling their children or having to, you know, figure out how to take care of other loved ones. So having that flexibility and really providing support for employees to support their balance is a protection against burnout. There's also tips on showing kindness to workers and having some coping strategies and plans, such as building your support system, creating new routines, practicing regular relaxation, watching your self-talk. I mean, we all talk to ourselves, and sometimes that self-talk can be very negative and that can be damaging. So the goal is to help to support workers to be successful in what we're asking them to do. So by supporting mental health, that helps to reduce the overall stress load that a worker may be dealing with. By doing that, we can help people to focus better. We can help them with better decision-making. It supports problem-solving and better communication. And overall, it can be better for morale in the workplace. So generally, when we support the mental health of workers, we will see improved productivity and just an improved culture in the workplace, which is really good for employees and good for business. But ignoring it can be really costly because, you know, we know that mental health conditions even before the pandemic accounted for more than 30% of claims. And in some companies that I've talked to, that number can be significantly higher than that. There can be absenteeism, you know, when people just don't want to come to work and they need a day off or a few days off. There can be increased conflict in the workplace, and it can cost you your employees. There can be increased turnover. I mean, we've all heard the term that, you know, employees leave companies. They don't leave a company. They leave a manager or a supervisor. So making sure that you've got good mental health support in the workplace can be really helpful for an organization.
Do mental health issues from the workplace tend to affect home life and then vice versa?
I think so, absolutely. I mean, we are whole human beings. We don't leave our work at work and we don't leave our home at home. We carry everything with us all the time. So really having that holistic view of worker as a person and being able to understand that, you know, what we're focusing on, what we're trying to do is help someone to be able to succeed. And it's not just succeeding at work. So when we are under a lot of stress at work and we're taking that home with us, and certainly these days when so many people are working at home, that divide between work and home is a little more, it's a lot blurrier for a lot of people. And so, you know, taking that work stress home can interfere with our ability to focus on our interactions with the people right in front of us, the people that we love and that we're, you know, going to work to support. And vice versa, if we're having difficulties at home and we're carrying that into the workplace, if we don't have the supports in the workplace that allow us to be able to maybe, you know, talk to somebody about how we're feeling or about, you know, what we need to be able to focus on our work and get rid of the distractions or even be able to, you know, have access to be able to talk to somebody outside of the workplace, for example, about what we're dealing with so that we can manage those feelings in a more productive way and be able to get the help that we need. It's so important. I mean, like I said, we're whole human beings.
Liz Horvath, thank you for this.
It's my pleasure, Ben. I hope you have a wonderful day and a good winter.